The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
God bless you all. Enjoy the day. And I'm coming down to do that Easter egg roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you.
Donald Trump marked his Easter weekend with a much different, more divisive message, blasting President Biden for proclaiming March 31st as Transgender Day of Visibility, which has been observed on this date every year since 2009, but coincidentally happened to fall on Easter Sunday this year. And therein lies the difference between Biden, an actual man of faith who goes to church virtually every Sunday, and Trump, who cloaks himself in Christianity in order to not only use religion as a weapon, but also as a blasphemous money-making opportunity.
I mean, every single thing Donald Trump do offends the message of the Gospels.
It just seems to be that the far right doesn't care that Biden is right. This religious Catholic and that Trump has all these marriages. And
I think it's wrong theologically, it's wrong morally, and it's absolutely stupid politically.
Well, apparently the speaker finds trans people abhorrent.
Who could, if they were invited or if they donated, go to Mar-a-Lago on a Saturday night and then go to church and celebrate Jesus' love on a Sunday morning.
President Biden is a Catholic of deep faith. He, of course, went to Easter Mass yesterday. No word if Donald Trump went to any sort of religious ceremony.
Between Joe Biden, who is, whatever you think about his politics, is a sincere and committed Catholic. He is a believer. And then Donald Trump off on the you know, 70-plus rants that he, you know, unhinged rants.
Suggest to President Trump and Mike Johnson and Senator Blackburn and others who are relying on the words of their Christ and their Jesus they celebrate today to condemn Joe Biden, to suggest to them that actually the Jesus they celebrate today would be inclusive of the transgendered community and would be supportive of the transgendered community and demand all Christians, including Donald Trump, Mike Johnson, and others who celebrate today, that in fact they should love the transgendered community as they love their own God.
One of the 3 or 4 days a year, Oyster Sunday, when the Marxists love religion. Oh, they love to use religion every now and again to bash Donald Trump. Joe Biden, the fake president, he is more religious than the bad orange man. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We're off and running on another week of broadcasting here at the Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or go to the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. We've got lots and lots of clips to get to, as per usual, on the Monday show, and lots of material to try to work our way through as well. But here yesterday, too, I mean, this was interesting to watch. Yesterday was Transgender Day of Visibility. We got to make them more visible. We've got, forget about the fact they've got June. They've got the entire month of June. That's like the LGBTQ month. That's 1 month out of 12. But evidently, March 31st is also the Transgender Day of Visibility. So the White House was torn. I mean, should we really go all in on Easter, or should we go all in on or maybe we can use Easter or religion or Jesus to promote transgenders? How about that? And they did it. And meanwhile, the regime media says, hey, Donald Trump, he's not religious at all. How dare he tweet on Easter Sunday, or if you go with the fake president's term, Oyster Sunday. This is clip one.
We begin with Donald Trump spending another religious holiday on social media on really what you would call a bender. Dozens turned into 40, 50, 60, 70 posts through Easter, through the Easter holiday. While most people were spending time with their families, maybe in church, we were in church, Trump appeared to be glued to his phone, posting 77 times on Truth Social. From sunrise to sunset, the presumptive 2024 Republican nominee spent the day airing his grievances and sharing far-right news coverage that cast him in a positive light. And as is customary for Trump on the holidays, one all-caps post wished a happy Easter to his perceived enemies, including the, quote, crooked and corrupt prosecutors and judges that are doing everything possible to interfere with the presidential election of 2024 and put me in prison, including those many people that I completely and totally despise because they want to destroy America.
There's your daily dose of the morning meltdown. Donald Trump is a horrible, horrible person. Jesus would never approve of Trump, but he definitely approves of transgenderism, for sure. This was put out by the fake president yesterday. Today we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. You belong. You are America. You are America. And my entire administration and I have your back. Now, therefore, I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31, 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility. I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and the voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. Goes on and talks about the year of our Lord. What would our Lord, what would God think of a proclamation such as this? Transgender Day of Visibility. And then, I mean, if you don't like that, I mean, you can embrace Easter Sunday. Bunnies and eggs. This was from the Morning Brief. Richard Palmer's comments this morning. It says here, since 2009, March 31 has been yet another date in the calendar set aside to celebrate a perverted lifestyle. That's Transgender Day of Visibility. The first presidential proclamation celebrating it came in 2021. That's the first year of the fake president. This year, it also falls on Easter Sunday. Biden's White House focused more on this Transgender Day than they did on Easter. He says, as I wrote on Friday, Easter is a holiday not commanded in the Bible. It has deep links to paganism. Bunnies and eggs have nothing to do with the resurrected Christ. That's why I thought it was pretty funny that he misspoke, the fake president. Oyster Sunday. I mean, what's the difference, really? If it's not in the Bible, I mean, you've got to keep coming back to what does God command? Jesus, remember, in his ministry, he spoke about, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I say? How about if we look into the Bible and see what the Bible actually says about what we are to worship, what commands we are to follow, and what we should avoid? God says we should avoid the traditions of men and go all in on his traditions, his laws, his customs, his holy days. Well, you can read further. Matthew 7 and verse 7, Richard quotes that, or at least references that verse in his morning brief today. It's pretty funny when you think about how they go on and on about Donald Trump, how that he hates religion. And then they talk about Trump and the Trump movement, and they say it's a religion. And they really are sensitive. to the fact that there's people out there that actually think Donald Trump was sent by God, that God is actually using Donald Trump. I mean, this makes them hot and bothered for sure, the regime media. It is interesting, given what we've been saying in America Under Attack, in Great Again. I'll give you some quotes here from the United States and Britain in Prophecy. I want to draw some attention to that book here in just a moment as well. But first, this from the New York Times. This is earlier today. This is what is this titled? The Church of Trump. So he hates religion. He's tweeting away yesterday, 70-some tweets. That really infuriated Mika. And yet here's the New York Times. Listen, we've got to be concerned about the Church of Trump. Now, given what we've been talking about over the years, what's in AUA, what you know about Amos 7, what you know about 2 Kings 14, it's pretty interesting when you think of the New York Times today. The Church of Trump, it says here, long known for his improvised and volatile stage performances, former President Donald J. Trump now tends to finish his rallies on a solemn note. Soft, reflective music fills the venue as a hush falls over the crowd. Mr. Trump's tone turns reverent and somber, prompting some supporters to bow their heads or to close their eyes. Others raise open palms in the air or murmur as if in prayer. I mean, they really do scrutinize every Trump rally, even though they won't play it on the television stations. Even though they won't show it, they can't. There's too many lies. But I mean, they watch. And they are there to tell you, this is not a rally. This is a religious service. Oh, yes. It says, in this moment, Mr. Trump's audience is his congregation and the former president, their pastor, as he delivers roughly a 15-minute finale that evokes an evangelical altar call. The emotional tradition that concludes some Christian services in which attendees come forward to commit to their Savior. See, this is where they hate religion. They despise religion. If it's Christian nationalism, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. But if we can make religion into our image, well then, we are righteous. This is all of this. It's nothing more than will worship. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I say? Okay, let's talk about what the Lord would say about mutilating your body. And to change, in the beginning, God made them male and female. It says that in Genesis chapter 1. Come on. To use religion, if you're the Marxist left, to promote transgenderism, really? And yet they do it. But here they talk about religion with contempt. Well, yeah, because Donald Trump's supporters, they're religious. And they are to be despised. They're to be destroyed. What a world. This is the devil's world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. The whole world is deceived. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Where is true religion? Where is pure religion? Well, you can find it. It's just a little flock. Jesus even said to the disciples in the first century, he said, God's people are scattered. They're a little flock. Go to those lost sheep. And they did. And they did. Look at the Apostle Paul's ministry. He went all around the Mediterranean region. And he was persecuted everywhere that he went. And he got to the end of his ministry and he says to Timothy, you know, everybody in Asia has fallen away from the truth. Everybody? Did that actually happen in the first century? Was the true church virtually blotted out in the first century? Well, the answer to that is yes. If you know a little bit about true church history, you know that it's been for 2,000 years a little flock, scattered, persecuted. We have that book, by the way. Is it up here? The True History of God's True Church. It's not here, but I was just looking here at the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. That's another one. Read this. Read this together with the true history of God's true church. Call our operators today. There it is. You see it on the screen. 1-866-930-3024. This is from that New York Times piece. It says, the great silent majority is rising like never before, and under our leadership, he recites from a teleprompter in a typical version of the script, quoting Trump, we will pray to God for our strength and for our liberty. We will pray for God and we will pray with God. We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. That's Donald Trump. This is the religion the regime hates. They hate it. For Donald Trump to invoke God and the God of the Constitution, the God of America. It says here, the meditative ritual might appear incongruent with the raucous epicenter of the nation's conservative movement, but Mr. Trump's political creed stands as one of the starkest examples of his effort to transform the Republican Party into a kind of church of Trump. His insistence on absolute devotion and fealty can be seen at every level of the party, from Congress to the Republican National Committee to the rank and file voters. You see, for Trump though, to call on religion to unite the Republican Party or Congress or whoever, I mean, that's committing an unpardonable sin as far as the Marxist left is concerned. But they can use religion for sure to push transgenderism. That's no problem. Or to bash Trump. That's no problem. They're very religious, Joe and Mika. They went to church yesterday. We can't be sure if Donald Trump did. If he didn't go to church yesterday morning, Oyster Sunday, if he didn't go to church, well, then he's a heathen. He's a hypocrite. He's a heretic. It says, but while Mr. Trump is eager to maintain the support of evangelical voters and portray his presidential campaign as a battle for the nation's soul, he has mostly been careful not to speak directly in messianic terms. Now, here's where the New York Times says, you know, he hasn't made direct comparisons, but you know what? There's some Trump supporters that they're getting a little too close to comparing Trump to Jesus. This from the same group of people that likened Obama to a savior in 2009 to Jesus. You talk about a religious clash. We're seeing it right here. Where is true religion? What is God's position? Well, for that, you better go to America Under Attack. Or furthermore, you better go into Mystery of the Ages. And you better be willing to actually look into the Bible. To read your Bible. Like Herbert Armstrong used to say, blow the dust off the Bible and prove it for yourself. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Are you going to just take what one side or the other tells you about religion? Or are you willing to look into it yourself? Are you willing to examine the scriptures yourself? Are you willing to prove all things and then to hold on to the truth? Look at the Laodiceans. You can read about that prophecy in Revelation 3, 14 to 21. So many of them just fell away from the truth. They were hearers alone, not doers. They didn't apply the truth of God in their lives. They were just listening, and maybe they even agreed, but they didn't do, and so they deceived themselves. That's James 1 and verse 22. And James goes on in the rest of that chapter to say, listen, you've got to look into the law of liberty. You've got to look into that perfect law of God and see the sins that need to be put away. Paul said in Hebrews 12, lay aside every weight of the sin that so easily besets us. I mean, we're just so easily caught up in sins. And it slows us down. It prevents us from serving God and from helping in His work, to support His work. we're at this time of year where God says, look, we need to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and go out of sin or go out of Egypt. Follow that pillar cloud. Follow Christ. Follow the living Christ. He lives. He's at the right hand of God. He's on the throne of God. And he lives to make intercession for the saints. Hebrews 7. He's our advocate when we sin. He's our apostle and high priest. Hebrews 3. Such a beautiful truth. Again, Mystery of the Ages will take you right through the seven great mysteries of our time. And you can understand and you can know. You can know what God's position is on transgenderism or any given subject. The Bible, I mean, God is love. His law is love. That love of God is spelled out in 10 distinct points, the 10 commandments. And it goes out from there in the form of statutes and judgments. But there's an overarching principle that covers everything. And you can know God's position. Such a beautiful book, the Holy Bible. I mean, it's a big book for sure, and it's probably going to have some text added to it after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. But think about the way things function in the swamp, where every year they're coming out with thousands and thousands of pages of legislation as they come up with more laws to cover more infractions or to implement more policies. Letter of the law, ritualistic. We've got to have something in black and white for every human action. That's the way the carnal mind works. That's because we don't have the nature of God built within. We have to go to God as the source of that divine nature. We have to turn to God in repentance and faith so that we can receive the divine nature, so that we can receive the love of God. And then we'll know. We still have to fight. We're still going to be weak. We still have to draw on that strength every day in prayer and study, diligent prayer and study. But when you receive that divine nature, you're receiving the love of God. And then you're more able to discern what's flowing in the direction of God's love and what's flowing in the direction of self-love. Mystery of the Ages. Make sure you call our operators if you don't have that book. Everything we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. The number 1-866-930-3024. Where did I leave off? This country has a savior, and it's not me. That's someone much higher up than me, said Trump in 2021. Still, though, this is the New York Times, still he and his allies have inched closer to the Christ comparison. Uh-oh. The Christ comparison. It mentions something that Marjorie Taylor Greene said last year. It says here, instead, the Trumpian flock is more likely to describe him as a modern version of Old Testament heroes like Cyrus or David. How about that? More and more of the Trumpian flock, quote unquote, describing Trump as, well, maybe he's like Cyrus. Maybe he's like David. Well, we would say he's a lot like Jeroboam. 2 Kings 14, here again, America under attack. It lays it all out there for you. It gives you God's perspective. It shows you what God's position is, what his thought is on what we're seeing play out today in the United States of America. You really do need that book, for sure. It says here, he's definitely been chosen by God, said Marie Ziri, a commercial real estate broker from Long Island. It says here, he's still surviving even though all these people are coming after him. And I don't know how else to explain that other than divine intervention. Well, I mean, she's right about that. There is something miraculous at play here. There is something from above that's transpiring here. It says, finally, for some of Mr. Trump's supporters, the political attacks and legal peril he faces are nothing short of biblical. I mean, that's from the New York Times this morning. Pretty amazing. Listen to this from the Morning Meltdown, clip two.
Happy April Fool's Day, but unfortunately, this is the reality. This is the real world. And what you saw over the weekend was not an actual parody. The Saturday Night Live episode really sort of nailed it, but it's difficult to come up with a parody of what Donald Trump is actually doing, peddling the Bible in just the crudest possible pandering. But again, you know, the split screen between Joe Biden, who is, whatever you think about his politics, is a sincere and committed Catholic. He is a believer. And then Donald Trump off on the you know, 70-plus rants that he, you know, unhinged rants.
Joe Biden, he's a religious man. Sincere, devoted Catholic. And then you've got Trump. Listen to Donny Deutsch as he goes on about the Good Samaritan. This is clip five.
The messages, the parable of the Good Samaritan, and yet they follow this man who delivers a daily dose of cruelty and raw politics and self-love to the table. Explain it to me.
Chris's explanation of why
some of these people.
Yeah, and they make me sick, actually. And Chris's explanation of why poor people, uneducated people, look, you say to them, everything sucks, I'm going to blow it up. They're buying it. I mean, it's a very simple, primal message. The people that I can't get through, and I understand, I know a lot of them, that make me sick, are the people that this country has been good to. But this country's been good to you, and you listen to this demonic figure, this fascist figure, talk about how he's going to blow everything up? Shame on you.
Yes, the poor, uneducated religious people, they make him sick, Donny Deutsch. Now, he's of the pure religion. Yes. And same with Mika. She went to church yesterday, so she's religious. This is what passes for religiosity, I guess. It's will worship, isn't it? It's just every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. Proverbs 16:25 and Proverbs 14:12. God repeats it twice. There's a way which seems right to a man, but how does it end up? It ends in death. And that's where we're headed as a society. That's where we're headed as a nation. How are you going to solve the sins of this nation with a political party or a political system when it's so deeply divided? There's so much hatred and contempt. There's so much will worship. There's so much carnal nature. Listen to, again, MSNBC talking about how that Trump is carrying out violence, or this church of Trumpism, as the New York Times calls it, is calling for violence in the streets. Clip three.
Yeah, all of Trumpism has been structured around this leader cult, and Trump as a victim of the deep state and all the other entities that we know by now. And so the purpose, ever since fascism, the purpose of these leader cults is also to change the way people think of violence. And so January 6th was a leader cult rescue operation where Trump was in distress. He was this wronged, you know, victim of a stolen election. And he called on his supporters to rescue him. And they did. And violence is the way that you change history.
Leader cult rescue operation. I kind of like that. The leader cult. He's leading a cult. Now, we are of pure religion, but Donald Trump, he's a cult leader. He's comparing himself to the Messiah. Listen to, this is from chapter 11, out of the United States and Britain in prophecy. Just talking, again, it'll bring scriptures to your attention that you need to go and look into, that you need to read and study. It says here, this world has a god, a false god, Satan the devil. He pretends to be an angel of light. That's 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Go read it. He comes across as an angel of light. What he says sounds religious. There's a lot of that in the world today. And there's something for everyone. I mean, it's like a smorgasbord. It's like going into a buffet. I mean, you can choose whatever kind of religion you want. There's something out there specifically for you. And an angel of light kind of message. An angel of light sounding message. He has his religious organizations, his churches, Mr. Armstrong writes. Not all are Buddhist, Shintoist, Taoist, Confucianist. Many have appropriated the name of Christian. But their ministers, says your Bible, actually are Satan's ministers. I mean, that's some strong language. But here again, look at 2 Corinthians 11. It says here, and no marvel, this is quoting 2 Corinthians 11, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also are transformed as the ministers of righteousness. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised if Satan's an angel of light. What about his ministers? Are they going to come across as angels of light as well? Well, which ones are angels of light? Which ones are wolves in sheep's clothing? And which ones are true ministers of Christ? You should read that section at the end of Acts 20, where Paul is addressing true ministers. These were ministers that he trained and taught. And he said to them, bluntly, some of you are going to turn out to be wolves, and you're going to steal away your congregations from Jesus Christ. Did that happen? I mean, is that true history? It's been happening for thousands of years. Human beings are so easily deceived. It's just so easy to go along with the multitude to do evil, as it says in the book of Exodus. It's easy to follow the crowd. If you're in a certain crowd, I mean, there's safety in numbers, we think. It's coming to the time where, I mean, you're going to have to act, and you're going to have to really, I mean, our lives, spiritually speaking, are on the line. In some cases, physically too. We have got to step out in faith and trust God and prove the truth, because we're living in a post-truth world. Only the truth will set you free. Mr. Armstrong said, but do they actually call themselves the ministers of Christ? It says, read the verse just before the two quoted. Verse 13, this is again 2 Corinthians 11. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And then Mr. Armstrong says, yes, Satan is the great counterfeiter. He palms himself off as God. He's called in your Bible the God of this world. He palms off his ministers as the ministers of Christ. And they accuse the true ministers of Christ of being false apostles to divert suspicion from themselves. This is, again, straight out of chapter 11 in the United States and Britain in prophecy. You see the copy there on your screen. No cost, no obligation. Just call our operators today and request your free copy, 1-866-930-3024. It says here, does this world's Christianity really know the true God? It's deceived into believing it does, and a deceived world may be sincere in that false belief. One's God is the one or the thing whom he serves and obeys, but the true God is the one whom we should obey. We should obey. And it goes on, as I say, it's an uncomfortable truth for some, but listen, we don't want, God is pleading with mankind. The world around us is burning. Now is the time to put your nose into the United States and Britain in prophecy, in mystery of the ages, and to prove the truth. Look at what's happening in politics. Look at what's happening in the United States, in Britain, in Judah. Look at what happened on October 7th. Look at the world getting behind Hamas. Western nations, the Israelite nations of all things. You can't explain it unless you understand about Revelation 12 and verse 9. Human traditions and customs, that's not going to save anyone. That's not going to deliver anyone. It's going to take the sacrifice and the life of Jesus Christ. Revelation, sorry, Romans 5, verses, I think it's 8 through 10. Reconciled to the Father by the blood of Christ. But there's much more, as Paul said. There's more to it than that. You don't just stop at the sacrifice or the crucifixion of Christ. You go on from there and you're saved. You're actually saved by his life. When we come back, we've got quite a few other clips and news items to see if we can get our way through. There were a few from last week that we just didn't have time to get into as well. So we'll see how efficient we can be with the last few minutes on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
You know, it's time to do something different. Like, we're not going to have this conversation again. I have come on the air with breaking news about requests for gag orders because of threats for judges and their kids more times than I could count today before I got ready. But Donald Trump broke the rule of law, and we should cover a broken judiciary in this country. Donald Trump managed to delay every federal criminal trial based on facts that he barely denies. What are we going to do different? Because Donald Trump sure is changing.
But here's what it all comes down to with the law. And this is what really makes former President Trump dangerous. He understands how the law in this country actually works, not how we like to think that it works. We like to think that the laws are written down on a book. And if you break that law, you enforce it based on the way that it's written down on the book. But what really happens is people get an impulse about whether or not something is right or wrong, how right or wrong it is, and does it warrant prosecution. What I consistently see is President Trump has to poke the bear 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times before people think that it warrants prosecution. Therefore, I don't expect to see it happen here.
What is it going to take for people to actually start taking this guy seriously? It appears that at every turn, he is just allowed to do whatever he wants and get away with it without any reprimand.
Well, it does seem that the scales of justice are really imbalanced when it comes to Donald Trump. For Donald Trump, there really is no edge. There is no beyond. But Donald Trump seems to get off the hook.
Did the guy in the middle there actually say that what makes Trump dangerous is that he understands how the law actually works? That makes him dangerous? Trump is claiming all these victories, and you see their heads exploding. Nicole Wallace. Nicole Sacred Airwaves Wallace. The script is out the window. You just listen. I can't understand how he's winning. He's winning, says the other guy, because he understands how the law actually works. And that's what makes him dangerous. Just coming back to what we touched on in the first segment. There is a strong hand from someplace outside of this physical realm that is intervening to save Israel. as 2 Kings 14 says. America under attack. Make sure you call our operators and request your free copy. I think I've plugged five books today. So a lot of reading. We're putting the pressure on you, the prod, to dig in to the Word of God. Listen to another Trump derangement syndrome outburst from MSNBC, clip 10.
As for Trump, the man hit with 4 indictments on 88 felony counts continues to run on a message of law and order. At the wake on Thursday for a New York City police officer killed on duty, he mouthed words in support of law enforcement, saying, quote, "Police are the greatest people we have." Never mind that Trump has called those in jail for physically attacking police officers during the insurrection on January 6th hostages, and has pledged to free them if he wins the White House in November. Trump's visit to Long Island was his first public appearance outside of a courtroom in more than a week.
How could he preach law and order when he's got these 88 felony counts against him? When he's been charged by Joe Biden's DOJ, the Dear Leader's DOJ? That would be Barack Hussein Obama. How could Trump preach law and order when the real preachers of law and order, that's the Dear Leader, that's the fake president, that's anybody on the radical left. They're for law and order, and they're using law and order to try to destroy Trump. And then they can't do it. And so Nicole Wallace, she throws the script off the desk. Listen to this from a rhino Republican. His name's Don Bacon, as he talks about the Biden crime family that's, not guilty of any crimes. Clip 9.
That yes, there was $24 million in foreign money that the family raised, and all the hidden LLCs that the money was moved around in. Yeah. But that within itself is not a high crime or misdemeanor.
Yes, there's the $24 million from foreign countries and all the hidden LLCs, but that's not a crime. That's not worthy of impeachment. Happens all the time. I mean, who doesn't have dozens and dozens of LLCs? Who doesn't rake in millions and millions of dollars from the CCP and from Russia and from Ukraine and from Burisma? That's a Republican. Weak, rhino Republican. No courage. No courage. You see why he's invited on Meet the Press? Because he's there to say, look, the crimes, they're not really crimes. But Trump, I mean, 88 felonies, right? He's been charged. He's been indicted. He didn't go to Easter sunrise service. He's obviously evil. I mean, he's Hitler. What kind of world? How is this going? I mean, if you just leave aside the prophecies of God, leave aside what Jesus said about great tribulation and what happens right before his return. How could this continue? Using Easter to promote transgenderism. How do we survive as a nation? How do we survive with this kind of sickness? And that's exactly the way the Bible describes it. It really is sick. Sick from head to toe, Isaiah 1. And you know what Jeremiah 17 says about human nature? It says it's dangerously sick. Jesus said we need a physician. We need healing. Romans 8:7 says that the carnal mind is hostile to God. It's hostile. That's what we're seeing. Just openly, blatantly hostile actions, thoughts, words, everything. Nobody's arguing for God. We talk a good talk when it comes to religion and bunnies and eggs and things. But notice none of them talk about the Bible itself. None of them refer to chapter and verse. Or if they do, they wildly distort it. They take it out of context. Why not just open the good book and let it speak for itself? As Herbert Armstrong used to say, the Bible interprets itself. It'll give you the meaning if you're humble and teachable. Matthew 11 and verse 25, it says God reveals his truth to little babes, little children. We've been talking a lot in marriage and family class about just how dependent little children are on parents, fathers and mothers. Yes, that's right. Father and mother in the beginning. God made them male and female. That's what the good book says. In the eyes of a little infant, a little squirming infant, his parents are God. And so how important is it? I mean, they're certainly not literally. They're in the place of God. I mean, that's all that this infant knows. These parents are providing. They're providing, they're sheltering, they're feeding, they're nurturing, and they're educating, or they should be. As that little squirming infant grows to become a toddler and then, a six-year-old going off to kindergarten for the first time. How important is it to prepare that child for the incredible human potential, to teach them in the ways that they should go, to train them up in the way that they should go, Proverbs 22:6. And then when they're old, they won't depart from it. We need to educate our young people in the words of God. We need to educate them in God's truth. We need to set them on the right and proper course. But we won't. We won't. We just turn them over to the system, be it education or the government, the nanny state, whatever it is. And look at how corrupt those institutions have become. Just switching over to another item here. This is, again, it's almost hard to take even the syrupy tone of this this particular commentator. Not even sure what his name is, but listen to him as he talks about the fundraiser that Donald Trump will be having here in the days ahead. Clip 11.
Trump has a big fundraiser coming up a week from tonight at his Florida home, an event his campaign claims will top Biden's $26 million event. No matter how much is raised, according to the Associated Press, Trump's attorneys will get a cut of that money. This won't be like the Democratic Jamboree at Radio City Music Hall. AP reports the main party favor at the Mar-a-Lago fete will be a personalized copy of Trump's coffee table book. And don't expect any A-list celebrities. Heck, don't expect former Republican President George W. Bush or Trump's VP Mike Pence to share the stage with him. Both have declined to endorse Trump.
These people, don't expect any A-list celebrities. Oh boy, I was just, that's what I was hoping for. I was hoping for the A-listers. I hang on every word that they say. I can't wait. I can't wait for Sean Penn to tell me what he thinks about Trump or Robert De Niro. That'll be an original hot take. The tone of these pious, sanctimonious, self-righteous commentators. It'll be interesting when he has his fundraiser, and supposing he does pull in more than $26 million, you think these people are going to be all giddy with delight like they were on Friday after Joe Biden shows up with the dear leader and Bill Clinton and who else? All of the celebrities, the funny man from the talk show, the singers, the Hollywood stars, 100,000 per photo. You can be sure there's no A-listers going to Mar-a-Lago. Trump's only giving away a coffee table book. This is from Richard's Morning Brief. Again, talking about the invasion at the southern border. He says, part of a rejection of American culture is the deliberate flooding of the nation of illegal immigrants. He talks about a video that went viral over the weekend from Denver, how that the newcomer communications liaison, Andre Carrera, begged migrants to go anywhere else. Denver is a sanctuary city, but Carrera warned, we've received too many migrants, and that's why we ran out of resources. So Denver's not unlike New York City or Chicago. They're overrun with migrants. They're full. They're at maximum capacity. And we're at a point in the United States where the people dealing with this curse are begging They're begging the migrants to go somewhere else. Yeah, go to Albuquerque. Go to San Francisco. Go to Portland. But don't come to Denver. We're full. We're out of resources. We can't hand you any more gifts, any more money, any more accommodations, any more health care. We just can't. This is from Town Hall. I think I might have mentioned this last week. Illegal alien at the center of Michigan woman's murder was previously deported. They send him home and then he comes back and he kills a woman. He kills an American. No big deal. Happens all the time, right? Just like, you know, having LLCs, pulling in millions of dollars from the CCP. It says here, the illegal immigrant at the center of the Michigan woman's murder was deported during the Trump administration before making his way back to the United States, according to a report from the New York Post. Guy is 25 years old, came in again, killed a woman. The Post noted that Ortiz Vite confessed to shooting Garcia during an argument on Friday. Previously, he had been deported. You see a lot of reports these days coming out of New York City where young white women are complaining about just being randomly attacked. And not all by migrants, but homeless, just people in general. And yet the regime's out there saying crime has never been lower. It's like we're living in a utopia. You listen to them talk. This woman that lost her husband, the Diller family, shot in the belly on a routine traffic stop. She, in the eulogy on Friday, I think it was, or maybe it was Thursday. I guess it was Thursday. She says, look, my husband was an upstanding citizen. He loved America. He loved me. He loved our baby. He loved our infant. And he loved his job. And he was always on call. He was always willing to serve New York City. And he gets gunned down in cold blood. And these talking heads on these regime networks, they basically say, hey, crime is down. How dare Donald Trump go to that eulogy? And oh, by the way, did you hear that Joe Biden had Queen Latifah at his fundraiser? I mean, he had some A-listers there. $26 million. We'll see what they do when Donald Trump pulls in that much, or maybe more, this next week. One last tidbit here. It says here, Associated Press photographer who participated in the October 7 attack on Israel and took a photo of the mutilated body of Shani Luke wins a prestigious journalism award. I mean, what is going on? This AP photographer, he goes in with Hamas. He's traveling in with the terrorists. They pierce the Israeli border. They start raping and murdering people. And this photographer takes pictures and wins an award for it. Yeah, photojournalist of the year, I guess. What a world. Hamas journalist Ali Mahmoud won the RJI Awards Team Picture of the Year for his picture of the German-Israeli woman's body in the back of a pickup truck as the Hamas terrorist stood on her near-naked body, her naked, disfigured body, we could add. He takes a photo, and of course, he wins an award. That's the devil's world. I mean, the devil and his demon army. You see their fingerprints on everything in the world today. The present evil world, as Paul called it in Galatians 1 and verse 4. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the fastest moving broadcast in television. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.